Tell you what, the authorities will take notice whenever there's bodies on the ground somewhere.
Pat Delaney, a farmer in his 70s from Ballinakil, says that the problem of farm theft has gone out of hand, and he fears that somebody will become seriously injured before measures are taken to prevent further thefts. The farm he works on alongside his son was most recently raided in the early hours of August 25th.
We have a new thing called a beam across the shed. Obviously, they didn't. They must have went in on their hands and knees. You know, we think that they might have suspected there was one there, but they obviously broke the beam on the way out. And my son got the text message, and he didn't call me, unfortunately. And he got the text message, and he put on his clothes, didn't turn on the light or anything, was out there within 2 minutes, and he heard a voice, and he heard the car taken away, taken off. And so he ran back over, he got my car, jumped into it, he rang the Gardaí, and he chased him. But as we live quite near the old Dublin Cork Road, within half a mile of it, he didn't know how to turn left or right when he went up to the main road. He took the right back for Abbey Leaks anyway, but there was no sign of him. But they possibly went back down through the country because they had a very old car. We discovered that later.
So how much was taken?
There was a power washer, a petrol engine power washer. There was an inch air gun for removing wheels off of tractors and trailers. It's for what you work with a compressor. And a chainsaw, and a welder, and various bits and pieces, then a new set of Allen keys that were bought but never even opened. And it's amazing the things they left behind them. And other bits and pieces, possibly that we didn't even find out yet until we go look for them, to go searching for them. And we'll put our hands to it and we'll find out that they're missing then, you know.
Now, I'm not sure how long you've been farming, but I can presume probably for all your life.
All my life.
Is this problem getting worse?
This problem has gone out of hand. It's at epidemic proportions here at the moment. People have gone paranoid. I had two neighbours living here back 20 years ago and I thought that was bad. They were raided here. One of them had to jump out to the window to get away from these thugs. He got a severe gash on his stomach. I was in hospital for a few days, and when he came home, himself and his brother were living together, and the two of them climbed up into the attic every night for possibly 6 months and pulled the ladder up behind him. They were that afraid. And that was 20 years ago. And that was very bad at the time and very horrendous for the people involved. Both men are deceased now. Every morning you get up, you hear somebody now. It's just like that. It's epidemic proportions around here.
Is it something that you think about before going to bed at night? Yes. Is what are you going to wake up to?
Absolutely. And there's feral tugs going around, and they're just pure. They're cheeky, they're impotent, they're everything else that you can think of. They think they own the place, and I don't want to say, and I'm not a violent person, but if push comes to shove, I'll fight me corner.
You feel that like this is absolutely necessary now? I mean, there's no other way around it.
I'll tell you the truth, Michael. I prefer to be tried by 12 of my men and then to be carried by 6 of them. But if you go chase these guys, you could be carried by 6 of them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where I'm being carried. There's an election coming up now, and there'll be politicians jumping up and down and making noise and jumping up and down about this. But if there's a body on the ground, everybody will be crying, why wasn't there something about this? But it'll be too late then.
In an ideal world, what would you like to see in terms of policing around here to allay your fears?
Well, you take Abbey Leaks Garda station. I'm not saying a word against the guards. They're not on the ground. That was a headquarters station here. Now it's closed at 9 o'clock at night. If I ring, I ring Portlaoise. On the night we rang them, actually they were relatively near us at the time. They were here in no time. But the guys were long gone at that stage. But I'm not blaming the Gardaí at all.
Where do you imagine your goods are at the moment?
I reckon they're hidden away somewhere at the moment, and they'll be showed up at a later date somewhere in a car boot sale or in somebody's yard. And another thing that I feel very strongly about is farmers and anybody buying second-hand property from people, these guys coming in vans into the yard at knockdown prices, they're buying their next-door neighbour's goods and or some next county's goods or something somewhere.
So you think these goods could still be in the locality?
Oh, I reckon they're stored away somewhere.
Marcella Corcoran Kennedy of Fine Gael exceeded the quota in the last count and therefore secures that second seat. She's standing by with our reporter Michael Brophy in Banagher.
Yes, good night, Will. We're now in the twilight hours here in Banagher, and situated beside me is Marcella Corcoran Kennedy. The Fine Gael candidate has just passed the quota. Marcella, how are you feeling?
Well, I'm absolutely delighted. We put in a terrific campaign. I was determined to hold the Fine Gael seat, which has been in the constituency since the 60s, and I'm absolutely thrilled that all of the work that the team put in has paid off. So I'm really proud of the work we did.
You were the only government candidate here in this constituency, which was a rather unusual circumstance. Was it more difficult to sort of plough your own furrow, so to speak, and to have to do the work on behalf of the coalition to try and get them back into power?
Well, I suppose we were realistic about our chances when the boundaries changed and Offaly and Laois were separated for the first time and became two three-seaters. So the decision was taken both locally and nationally that we wanted to consolidate our Fine Gael vote because there were only three seats, and to run one candidate to ensure that we didn't gamble with the seat, and that was what we did. It was, there was clearly no Labour candidate in the constituency, and it was a responsibility, you know. I mean, at the end of the day, if people have worked before you to hold a seat, then the responsibility is on me as well as, you know, on the team. But certainly it does rely largely with the candidate to ensure that you deliver what you set out to do.
Numbers have dropped in terms of polls for Fine Gael in recent weeks. Were you expecting a bounce? Because the exit polls suggested exactly what was seen the last few weeks. Were you disappointed that Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael didn't perform probably a little bit better than those polls suggested?
Well, look, I'm not a great one for paying attention to polls, actually, because by the time all that was happening, I was out canvassing and knocking on doors and all of that. But clearly, you know, you would have hoped to see a bit of a bounce. We had hoped that as the election canvassing progressed, that we would see an increase and that there would be some momentum to the campaign. But for some reason, that just didn't seem to happen. And you know, I knew in this constituency, which always has had a very strong support for Fianna Fáil, that they would do well. And my aim was to poll high enough to be in the top three when the first preferences were counted. So that's what I achieved.
It has been a rather disastrous day for the coalition. A lot of seats lost. What's your own thoughts on people elsewhere, your colleagues in Fine Gael and presumably good friends in Labour that are struggling this evening or have already conceded defeat?
Yeah. Well, look, that has been the hardest part of the day. You know, I mean, I would have known from my own tally that I was in with a very good chance of holding on to the seat here. So it was just so terrible to see really excellent public representatives who really worked hard over their career. Many of them were first-time TDs. Many of them have decades of service. And to see them lose their seats was just heartbreaking, really, because they were so committed to serving their country and making hard decisions. And at the end of the day, though, I mean, the electorate are the ones that we are bound to listen to. And when they make their decisions, that's it. We have to deal with the outcome of that.
At 9 o'clock, good morning, I'm Michael Brophy. Robert Troy says Fine Gael's offer of a full partnership government with Fianna Fáil is the last throw of the dice of a desperate Taoiseach. The deal, which would also include independent TDs, was offered by acting Taoiseach Enda Kenny to Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin last night. The face-to-face meeting between the leaders of the two biggest parties came 40 days after the general election result. The proposal will be discussed by TDs from both parties in Leinster House this morning. Longford West Meath Fianna Fáil Deputy Troy says he was surprised at the offer, but insists that the outgoing government needs to be removed from office.
Only last week, the acting Taoiseach indicated that he wouldn't even contemplate supporting a minority Fianna Fáil government. So what we've seen is his position shift, and shift quite dramatically. What I believe this is the last throw of the dice of a desperate Taoiseach who is trying all things in his power to retain the office of Taoiseach. We as a party campaigned very strongly that we wanted to remove the present government.
Meanwhile, Fine Gael TD Peter Burke says he's concerned that a coalition deal with Fianna Fáil and the Independents would lead to a weak opposition. However, the Longford West Meath representative says the offer is the only combination which would offer a stable government.
The deal that has been offered is trying to be a reflection of the 32nd Dáil and the formation that the electorate has voted for. I would say, first of all, that a government has to be stable. And looking at the current figures, to avoid an election, the only combination that would work would be some support from Fianna Fáil together with support from independents. And that would ensure that everyone would have to buy in, not too unsimilar to the inter-party government we had in the past.
Meanwhile, Pat Leahy, Deputy Political Editor of the Irish Times, thinks Fine Gael needs Fianna Fáil support in government because depending on independence would be too unstable. He also thinks a second election would present challenges for the Fianna Fáil leader.
The danger is if you had a second election, you got the same results. What happens then? Go for third time lucky.
No therapy, no chance!
It's the second time in 12 months that LUFA members have gathered in protest outside the HSE's Disability Services offices on the Arden Road beside Tullamore Hospital. A failure to fill psychology posts in Laois and Offaly is one of the primary reasons for today's action. Mary Duffy Lowbridge is Secretary of LUFA.
There are no psychology services at all in Laois, as I said. You need to get referred from your GP as it stands currently for any psychology in Laois, and then in Offaly and Laois both. You need to prepare to wait.
The HSE has said there have been difficulties attracting applicants to vacancies relating to autism services in the region. They also say attempts to recruit psychologists via agencies has not been successful. Scraggan resident Declan Monaghan's daughter attends Sapling School for Children with Autism in Mullingar.
I'm not shocked anymore because I'm used to it, but I shouldn't have to be used to it. These are vital services that should be provided. Like, there's not one parent who should be standing here today. We should be at home looking after our children.
Two men and two women have been released on bail after appearing in court in connection with a massive fight in Mullingar on Tuesday. Our reporter Michael Brophy was watching proceedings. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Will.
So who was in court?
In court, as you mentioned, two men and two women charged. There were six initially arrested after the incident. Those four that were charged in court yesterday were 53-year-old Michael Nevin of Grange Village, 26-year-old Emily Devlin of Springhaven, 30-year-old Thomas Nevin of Springhaven, and 32-year-old Kathleen Nevin of Grange Village, all of those addresses in Mullingar. They were charged under Section 6 of the Public Order Act, which is threatening, abusive and insulting behaviour in a public place. Now, the Gardaí told the court, Garda David Hannan told the court, that it was a volatile confrontation between members of the Nevin and Joyce families. And it was also mentioned that two members of the Joyce family had been taken to hospital to Mullingar Regional after the incident on Tuesday afternoon. The incident itself took place just after 4 o'clock on Oliver Plunkett Street.
Did he make reference to the number of Gardaí who were involved?
He did, yeah. Garda David Hannan mentioned that 12 Gardaí were used to help break up the incident. The incident, which lasted for 10 to 15 minutes just outside the building of the Credit Union on Oliver Plunkett Street. Now, it was also mentioned that it was a particularly dangerous time of the day for something like this to occur due to the fact that a lot of children were leaving school at the time, around that time of the afternoon. It was mentioned no weapons were used in the fight. It was what was called, and the term was used in court, a fair fight, which generated a little bit of debate in the court, but I think the term just refers to the fact that it was no weapons used in the incident itself. South of Athlone in Carrick O'Brien, farmers have been battling floodwater for over a month. The main road leading to Golden Island remains closed, with over 2 feet of floodwater lying idle on some parts of the tarmac, and it's even deeper on farmland. On the back of a tractor and trailer, Agriculture Minister Simon Coveney joined Longford Westmeath TD Gabrielle McFadden and a number of other local farmers and IFA representatives as they visited some of the flood victims. Michael and Paul Mackin used a boat to travel from their own yard to the main road to chat to the minister.
There must be one man to give the orders. If you don't do your job, you walk.
Well, no, I think what will happen...
That's the way it should be in my
time. No, and I take that point, and I've got that feedback from a lot of people. But, you know, there are also legal responsibilities in terms of management. There are lots of different interests on the Shannon. What's needed is an acceptance that the flood relief infrastructure that's going to be put in place in the Shannon, and there's a lot of money committed to that now. Like, we have 431 million euros committed to flood relief programmes between now and 2020. That's more money than's been spent for the last 20 years on flood relief. And a big portion of that will go in the Shannon catchment area. And so all of the entities were in agreement yesterday, and it was made very clear to them by the Taoiseach that actually we need a lot more coordination in the future, and we're going to put a group in place that will pull people together and get collective agreement on approaches in terms of managing water. And so, like, give that process some time. We're only talking about a couple of weeks, and you'll see what's being formally proposed.
But the government could save themselves an awful lot of money. It goes back to basic thinking. The Shannon is ran properly. We're all our lives, he's all his life here looking at a flood.
Yeah.
Nobody has any problem with the Shannon Callis flooding. That was always, since I was a Gosden growing up here. Mm. No one has a problem with that. The floods now are getting out of hand because of the way the Shannon is.
Mm. And there's flooding in the summer.
The government could be saved. And you could keep all the 40 millions and everything. It wouldn't cost anything if it was done properly. Yeah. You wouldn't have to be compensating people, putting them out of their houses or anything. Mm. That's all we want.
Yeah.
We were used to looking at wildlife here. He showed me things when I was a Gosden growing up. We worked here in this farm, yeah, and the whole lot, and I can safely say there's a lot of things extinct in the Shannon Callis now. Yeah. We're getting summer floods as well as winter floods.
Further down the Shannon in Athlone, Brian Corcoran surveys the scene from the quay. He is chairman of the Athlone branch of the Inland Waterways Association of Ireland.
Well, certainly as been stated on the media, the levels have come higher and has come higher than 2009. Standing here at the back of Sean's Bar and looking at the area that was flooded in 2009 is relatively dry, thankfully to all the pumping that's been going on. You know, a fantastic job has been done there. I think the challenge is that the levels are still rising, there's more rain forecast, so it could be a couple of weeks before we can stop the pumps.
We're here beside one particular boat that's been moored for, it'll be here for the winter anyway, but what sort of an impact will this have on those with boats over the next couple of months? Is it going to take a long time for these levels to get down to any sort of a manageable level?
Well, I don't expect it to have a big effect on the boating community, because typically people don't use the river, you know, between the months of November and March, maybe. You know, the odd time you'd use it, but under these conditions, I think anybody on a boat would be foolish to attempt to navigate the Shannon at the moment, because you just can't tell where the main navigation is with such areas being flooded.
24 members of the Defence Forces are positioned at 6 locations across Athlone. One of those high priority positions is on the Deer Park Road. Lieutenant John Mahon of Custume Barracks explained the work being undertaken.
Well, at the moment there's one full platoon on pump duty, so there's pumps located in strategic locations all around the town, and there's a full platoon making sure that they're running properly. They have enough petrol, oil, lubricants and diesel to keep going and to keep the water pumped out. At the moment there's another full platoon on sandbag duty, topping up the existing defences and then building further defences in areas where they're needed.
And are those sandbag defences, are you monitoring how high those need to be then on a regular basis? I see that those ones have been topped up further down the road.
Yeah, all defences are being they're being constantly monitored. We're watching the water levels and we're making sure that they're topped up on a priority and on a case-by-case basis by order of priority. So we're keeping on top of everything at the minute and trying to make sure that all defences are adequate and keeping the water out.
In Offaly, the road linking Shannon Harbour to Harbour Cross near Banagher remains closed, with 2 houses flooded in the village. Dermot McIntyre's pub has not been directly hit by floodwater, but his business has been affected by power cuts to a portion of the village.
Well, the road from the Banagher side has been cut off for 4 weeks today, and a lot of my business would have to travel that way, but some of them come around through Clahan and that, but it's been had a huge impact on the business. But the electricity was cut off last Wednesday, and they've shut off the sewerage as well, so I'm running with a diesel generator for the last week, and now we have to try and draw out the sewerage myself. Apparently it's nobody's problem and everybody's problem at the same time, but it looks like I'll have to look after myself. I've put in Portaloos just that I can keep the actual pub open for hygiene purposes. I had to shut the toilets in the pub part of the house, so that's where we're at the minute. It's a disaster for us, but we're surviving and we're managing to keep the business open, but at a huge cost. A diesel generator running for the last week as well, 24/7. And what I say, we've managed to keep it open and we will keep it open.
The holiday season is very important for pubs. Yeah, how was it for ye?
Well, it certainly wasn't as good as any other Christmas or New Year, but it wasn't desperate either. We've managed, and we've lots of good customers, and we have plenty of support from regular customers and that as well. So we've had lots of visitors coming to see the flood as well. So it's a bit of a tourist attraction as well. But no, we're fine. We'll manage, and it's been doom and gloom in different places, and there are people worse off than us around. So we keep the flag flying in Shannon Harbour and keep the lights on and the Porto Loo's open as much as we can.